Welcome to the Green Zone Podcast, where it's all about helping you navigate to a better financial future. Your hosts, Jeff Green and Lauren Smith, explore topics that cover your finances, retirement, legacy, and how to live your life to the fullest. Whether you are an oil and gas professional or someone who has built an executive career in another industry, come join Jeff and Lauren in the Green Zone. Retirement doesn't mean you can put your finances on autopilot while you go play pickleball or golf. Your tax situation will change as you age, and if you're not careful, those taxes can hit your nest egg, and not in a good way. Jeff Green and Lauren Smith are here to walk us through the four stages of retirement and how you can strategically plan to maximize your savings. This does not sound like a very pleasant conversation, folks.
But you already made me chuckle.
I know. When you start saying pickleball and all that, I got a little more exciting.
So for those of you who don't know, we don't always know what Patrice is going to say at the intro. She clears it through us. And it's like, you know, we've been doing this for years. And I've never once said, you know what, Patrice, that's not a good intro. Don't do that, right? I mean, everything you've always done is always great. She did happen to not run this with Bobby, and I'm glad she didn't because it made me laugh.
Yeah, I like the pickleball.
Awesome. So yeah. What are we looking at here when it comes to retirement, though? What surprises? I mean, we've saved our money. What's the issue?
Well, look. So first of all, there's four stages of retirement. And I'm going to preface this. This is the most boring topic ever. I was going to do a video on this today even, but we happened to have an old intern, Gracelyn Weiss, pop by the office today. I was like, you know what? I'm going to interview her on video. God, it was so much better. It was fun. We laughed. It was good. But now we're going to talk about
that. I know. We should interview her on the podcast too. And then we realized we had to do taxes.
Boring.
Tax time.
I know.
No one's excited about it. So bear with us. We'll bring a fun one for the next one.
Well, we'll add a little something to this one if we can, but it'll be hard about taxes. taxes, right? So they're confusing. Anybody, you know, the State of the Union address was last night, right? Did you watch it?
I watched it for a few minutes.
I had to tune out. I could, but I tuned out early, but I did hear one thing that everyone kind of agreed on. I think this is what he said. Does anyone like the tax system or something about that right now? Right. And everyone's like, no. I mean, I think we can all agree.
I think that is one thing every person shares in common.
We don't like our tax system. Not even the taxes, but our whole tax code is just confusing, right? And so it's easy to make mistakes, and it's easy to do, you know, things that'll get you in trouble and cause penalties and things like that. So I want to talk a little bit about some of those things, right? We've got really just four key areas I want to cover today. We'll make this quick. So let's talk about, first of all, the four stages of retirement, okay. Right? So there's pre-retirement, and I really consider that everything up until the day you retire. That's up until 50 to 60, whatever, you know, typically.
I
know
so it kind of starts in 50 and 60. We can't say that I, at 36, am in pre-retirement, or could we?
No, I wouldn't really say that, okay. But you are saving for retirement,
correct. Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so, I mean, I guess you're always in pre-retirement.
That's my point.
Yeah, right? When retirement is the end goal.
Right, but yeah. But to your point, you can say maybe between the ages of 50 and 60, that's pre-retirement because now you're thinking about retirement, right?
Yes, really on the forefront. You're starting to do your planning. The numbers really matter.
Yeah,
I can work with you on that.
I won't say how old you are, but you're in your...
I'll
just say you're in your 30s.
Yeah, early 30s.
Right. Are you thinking about retirement? Early 30s, that's generous.
No, I know. That's generous. But no, I'm not really thinking about retirement.
Right, so that's my point. Okay, so anyway, we got pre-retirement. Then you got early retirement, right? And that's what they call the go-go years, right? So you retired, you got some money, and now you're out, you know, going about, right?
Starting to check those cross those things off the bucket list.
That bucket list. But, you know, I'll make the case, start doing your bucket list now, right? But that's another podcast,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Then there's 70 to 80. You call that middle retirement, the ages 70 to 80 years. They call those the go slow years. So we got the go years, now the go slow years.
So you're starting to scale back a little bit, still living, enjoying that retirement, but just, you know, slowing down just a little bit. Maybe you're not traveling as much as you did right when you started.
That's what they say. And then there's late retirement. That's like 80 plus, right? 80 years old plus. They call those the no-go years. But I'll tell you this. We have clients well into their 80s. And I'm going to tell you, they're still going.
Yeah. They're in their 50-year-old go-go years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the 60. But
60. I mean, sorry.
Have you been paying attention? Are you with me today?
Sorry. You lose me on tackles every time.
Anyway, so those are what we call, you know, just for generality purposes, that's the forward stage of retirement. So so here's really your the basic surprises that you're going to come across, right? So inflation, okay? People, you know, they view their costs and they just don't think how inflation is going to affect them, but it is.
You know, back to one of my favorite topics, which is financial planning.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're always very cautious to do with planning is to make sure we have some sort of inflation adjustment in there, because it is a surprise for a lot of people. Yeah. It's something that needs to be taken into consideration.
I agree. Longevity, that's another surprise people have in retirement, right? Living longer than expect. And that goes back to these four stages that we talked about at first, well, antiquated, because people in their 80s, you know, they're still going and still doing whatever, you know, doing a lot of things that I've always done. And so I think life expectancy, we're living longer. We need to make sure our money lasts longer. So that's surprise number two. Surprise number three, expenses. Everybody underestimates their expenses. That's just pretty common. I get surprised every month when I see the credit card bill.
But then it gets back to what we've talked about before, the Saturday effect in retirement, right? You know, when every day is Saturday, yes, right. You can forecast your expenses while you're working. And those are a different set of expenses when every day is a vacation and you're trying to figure out what to do, golfing every day, going to see the movie, going to dinner. You know, there's a lot more that comes into play.
Yeah. So, and then of course, healthcare, that's a biggie.
That is a biggie.
Right. We'll talk a little bit about that. So here's our key takeaways here. This is where we're going to kind of get to the meat of the thing. So, you know, you have to know what your after-tax retirement savings looks like before you retire, right? Because if you got $500,000 in your 401k and in your IRA, guess what? It ain't really $500,000 because the tax man's going to get paid, right?
So he always gets paid.
Right. So understand that just because you got your $500,000, you got your $1 million, whatever it is you got in your 401, that's not really what you have, right? Because those are pre-tax dollars that are going to get taxed. So if you're already retired, right, and this is, we harp on this all the time, start evaluating what next year's tax bill is going to be. And we project many, many years out on tax bills, right? And we're going to get to that when it comes to RMDs. But I think that's a big thing that you can do there. Were we going to say something?
Well, I was going to hit the next point.
Oh, well, go ahead.
You're so jazzed about taxes. I don't know where I can really interject on this. You're just so excited today, rocking and rolling.
I thought you were doing your nails or something over there.
Not today. So another key takeaway is Social Security and Medicare both have tax traps that you potentially could fall into and need to plan for. And it's funny that this is a, you know, something we're talking about, because my parents just started Medicare and also Social Security. And my dad gave me a very surprising phone call. He was very surprised at how much his Medicare premium was going to be and how much they withhold from Social Security because of that. Yeah. And the tax, you know, just,
yeah, that's,
I don't have a whole come to Jesus moment with him, which was not fortunate, but you know, we talk to our clients about that all the time. I forgot to talk to my parents about it. But
yeah, you know what? I think that's why they should have, and they do have a different financial advisor. And I think they should, because you know, you're too close to that. Mm-hmm. And I would say I shouldn't be managing my own money. You shouldn't be managing your own money because we're too close to it. Again, another topic for another day. But I agree. You know, that's because it's your parents. You didn't have that conversation, right?
Exactly.
You're a good financial advisor would. Not that you're a great financial advisor, just not for your mom and dad.
I'm watching you backtrack on this.
I know. I better shut up now.
You went off on some tangent that I don't know if you're coming back from.
We're talking about taxes.
I know. Okay. But so, you know, with IRA withdrawals, people don't consider that can affect how much of your Social Security stack.
Yes.
So you think, oh, I've worked, I've paid my taxes, I've done that. Now I'm in retirement, I'm taking IRA distributions. Social Security is not going to be taxed, but that is not true in all cases.
Yes.
So case-by-case basis, depending on how much other income, including IRA distributions you have. Another thing, higher income, i.e. IRA withdrawals, can potentially cause hundreds of extra dollars a year in Medicare premiums, which is, we have a lot of clients
that
are very surprised.
Well, they're very sensitive about their Medicare costs. And I mean, we adjust incomes just to save a few hundred bucks on Medicare. And I mean, that's a concern.
And it's, you know, it's a tough situation because it amounts to a few hundred dollars a month, like you said, mm-hmm. but it's also down to value. If you're used to paying in your working years X amount for healthcare a month, now you're in retirement, you're paying $400 more a month for Medicare, that's hard to stomach. So you want to try to adjust things to make sure you can get that premium lower. So there are some things you can do, but that's a potential trap that you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree. Is it my turn to talk now?
Well, why don't you go ahead? Why don't you take the, I'm going to go paint my nails and you can do the rest of this one.
I'll take number three and then I'll let you wrap up with number four.
All right.
Not fair. So, number three, this is part of the Rubik's Cube I talk about a lot, right? So where do I get my money from? Where's the paycheck coming from? Am I going to take it from taxable accounts? Am I going to take it from tax deferred accounts, tax-free assets? Where is that income coming from? And that matters immensely because it affects where you're going to fall in your tax bracket. So we help clients manage what tax bracket they're going to be in. So, you know, sometimes it pays to draw your IRA down early. Doesn't mean you have to spend the money, but it means you might want to consider pulling some of that money out of tax deferred accounts, because if the two things happen, you know, you're going to save it up for the tax man, right? So you can take a look at Roth conversions, paying things down like that, up to a certain tax bracket. And, you know, again, the RMDs are going to force you potentially to do what you're talking about, pay more in taxes on Social Security and make your Medicare payments go up as well. So that's certainly worth consideration. And
it's something you can do financial planning for and forecast and decide. Mm-hmm. Some people that doesn't make sense. Some people it makes a ton of sense. So it's really a case by case basis and something that we can forecast out for you to help you make an informed decision.
And we've been doing a lot of Roth conversions for clients these past few years. We are at historically low tax rates. And I know when you get your tax bill, you're like, oh, this ain't low.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, right? But historically speaking, we're at low rates. And it's a Roth conversions for some people in the right makes some good sense.
Yeah. And what is interesting to me, it is a great tool and we have seen it be super effective and be very tax efficient and help so many of our clients, but there are clients where it does not make sense. So with all of this, there's not a one size fits all. You might hear Roth conversion, Roth conversion, Roth conversion. It might not make sense for you.
Right.
So it really is important. Even if your neighbor, cousin, aunt, uncle, everybody has done one, you might be the one person where it ends up hurting your retirement long term.
Isn't that what your mother used to ask you? Well, if everybody jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump off one too?
My mom didn't say that.
No. Maybe your mom didn't care about you.
No, she just knew I wasn't going to jump off a bridge.
Okay. The other thing about like tax deferred accounts, QCD, right? A qualified charitable distribution.
Tell me about it.
You love these, right?
I do love these.
So with a QCD, say you don't need all of the money in your IRA, and many people don't. Many people have done very well. They've saved up and they don't necessarily need the RMD that the government's making them take out. So they do what's called a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution. That's where if you are charitably inclined or there's a nonprofit that you'd like to donate some money to, a good cause that you like and you believe in, you can do what's called the qualified charitable distribution, and you can pull that money from your IRA and send it directly to the charity. That's people like us handle that kind of paperwork for you. So it's all coded right with the IRS and all that kind of stuff. And it's tax-free, right? So it counts towards your RMD. It counts towards your required minimum distribution. You help a good cause and you save the taxes.
So an example of that, let's say you have $100,000 required minimum distribution for this year. Let's say you only need $50,000 from your IRA to fund your lifestyle. So to take out the full $100,000, you'd be paying tax on an additional $50,000 of income. Let's say you're charitably inclined. You can divide that by as many charities as you want, but you can take that $50,000, send it directly to the charity. You've satisfied some charitable inclinations that you have. You've satisfied your RMD and you've saved on $50,000 worth of taxable income that could have come to you. Yeah. So pretty cool.
Very good. Yeah. And stuff we utilize here. So the last one, number four, Lauren, take it away.
So another thing to consider is organizing your assets and really looking at estate planning. Mm. So really important, especially if you have specific wishes for how you would like to leave things behind. There's multiple ways to leave money behind, right? So with IRAs, that IRAs left to beneficiaries have a certain tax treatment.
Correct.
As of right now, which this could change in the future, your beneficiaries have 10 years to withdraw that money from the IRA.
Non-spousal. Right.
So you got a $100,000 IRA, you leave it to your child. They have 10 years to take that $100,000 out of the IRA and pay taxes on it. They can do it all in year one, all in year 10, a combination here and there, but they have to do it within 10 years. So do you want to save your kid the taxes? If so, maybe you start paying more taxes to do bigger Roth conversions in your years, and you're leaving it behind in a Roth, which is treated more tax favorably.
Right.
So, you know, that's one thing to consider.
Yeah. So, you know, and you're right. Estate planning does still matter, even though that, you know, the estate taxes don't really start up until, I don't even know what the number is anymore, 22 million or whatever it is for a combined estate, somewhere in that range. I'm probably off on that, so don't quote me on that one. But, you know, most people fall under that threshold and they think, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm not there. I don't have these estate taxes. No, you may not have estate taxes, but you're going to have a bunch of other issues. And we've been harping on this lately with our clients in meetings, you know, the payable on death accounts and things like that. You know, things can happen. And especially like our single clients, you know, our clients who don't have a spouse for whatever reason, something happens to them, you know, how are their children or whoever is important to them going to get access to that money to help pay for their care?
And so that would be setting up power of attorneys and making sure that you've got the right documentation in place.
Yeah. So important stuff to think about that we don't all think about. They're also sometimes difficult conversations to have. So your financial advisor needs to be able to have those kind of difficult conversations with you because, I mean, they're not, you know, I feel we're not doing a service to our clients unless we have these kind of hard conversations.
And it's never fun for us to say, hey, you're 67, you're 65 now.
Yeah.
That's still young. There, you probably have 30 more years, but you could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Yeah,
I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Any of us could. And so it's not fun to have a conversation talking about the bad things that could happen, but that's an important part of being an advisor is making sure that your financial future is set for every single situation that can come about.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you have it.
Wow.
What
a riveting episode.
It was great. Are you kidding? I was impressed. You guys did a great job. I even laughed at a few points.
Thanks.
I mean, yes. Jeff was very excited about this one.
You're all excited because my day's over now. Relax, because this is the last thing I had to do today. It's Friday. We're recording this on a Friday. It's like 3 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm done. My weekend's about to start.
Well, I do every podcast on a Friday.
I was just going to say we should do everything. Yes, the energy level is so high. It's great here. But I'm going to say to listeners, join us in the Green Zone where everyone is welcome. And before we end this whole podcast, how can people reach you folks?
How can they reach us, Jeff?
Well, they can call us 713-244-3030 or visit us online, www.greenfinancialgrp.com.
All right, folks, follow the podcast. You will get the latest show that way. And of course, share with friends and family. I'm Patrice Sikora, and thanks for being with us. Neither Raymond James Financial Services nor any Raymond James Financial Advisor renders advice on tax issues. These matters should be addressed with the appropriate professional. Unless certain criteria are met, Roth IRA owners must be 59 and a half or older and have held the IRA for 5 years before tax-free withdrawals are permitted. Additionally, each converted amount may be subject to its own 5-year holding period. Converting a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA has tax implications. Investors should consult a tax advisor before deciding to do a conversion. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Green Financial Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Green Financial Group is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Jeff Green is the founder of Green Financial Group and a registered principal for RJFS. The Green Financial Group is located at 1400 Post Oak Boulevard, Suite 150, Houston, Texas, 77056. and can be reached at 713-244-3030. Raymond James is not affiliated with and does not endorse the opinions or services of his guests.